Hello, everyone. Welcome to There Are Four Hosts. As always, there are four hosts. I'm Sabrina. You can find me at Voidcat Gaming at Instagram, Twitter, and Twitch.
And I am Michael. You can find me at Blue Beetle Games on the Twitters.
Hey, everyone. This is Jonathan. You can find me everywhere on social media at Just Average J.
Hi, this is Keith Justice. You can find me on the Twitters at Keith Hayward, and you can find me on the Twitches at Keith Justice, and where I'm playing Earth Defense Force, a game that no one cares about, and it's fucking awesome.
You care about it. That's enough for us.
It's exactly. So good. Exactly. It's just a perfectly simple, dumb game, and like we may now like have a weekly plan to play it out and like farm weapons. We're just having so much fun with it. Yeah,
that's awesome.
Well, tell me a little more about it, Keith.
It's about like the simple thing is you pick one of like three dudes and dudette. The dudette has a jetpack. The regular dude has a gun, and then there's another dude who has big guns, and you run around a destructible city fighting giant insects so far. And then we've gotten to a place where the UFOs come in, so it's like a nice send up to like 1950s schlock sci-fi, but also what Ultraman is when you don't have Ultraman in it. Like you strike teams of sci-fi fighters that roll out into cities and fight giant threats, and it's just so much fun and hilarious. So yeah, can't get enough of it. Nice.
Well, while we're talking about video games, Keith. Thank you, Jay. Michael, have you guys been playing anything new?
Actually, I was just going to say, I found this game, which I didn't realize, I couldn't believe I didn't know existed before, but it was free, I think through Ubisoft or one of the stores. It's like Death Coming. Have you guys, I'm sure you played that or heard of it?
Never heard of it.
Death Coming?
I've heard of Death Stranding, but not Death Coming.
Death Coming is like, you die, and then the Grim Reaper recruits you to help him collect souls. And so
there's a TV show like that.
Okay, that's fun. So you push an AC unit out the window to kill somebody to get the soul. It sounds really demented, but that goes to my weird sense of humor. So
it's like a nice puzzle game?
Yeah, you have to figure out how to kill people.
That's kind of cute. Nice.
Yeah, it's cartoony.
Yeah, it's all cartoony, yeah. It's pretty fun.
Okay.
That's free?
It was free a couple days ago. I think it's a few bucks now.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. It's what it feels like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jay, you been playing anything?
Yes. I've been playing a bunch of Roblox with my kiddo.
Cool.
And and Sonic Forces. He's in a big Sonic phase right now. We actually watched the new Sonic movie last night for movie night.
Yeah, how was it?
It's actually, I like it, especially with the redesign of Sonic.
I thought it was good. The way people were talking about it, they're like saying they made it seem like some game changer had happened, and like I was like, oh my god, am I getting blown away by a Sonic movie? And instead, it was good and like thumbs up, but like it just didn't floor me like everyone was saying it would do.
It was a fun movie. That's all you need out of a Sonic movie.
Exactly,
right?
It was a cute movie. It was cute. Me and my kiddo like together loved it. It was we saw it in the theater and he loved it, so we were like, you know what, let's buy it and let's watch it tonight. Nice. So
what are Sonic games like now? I mean, like, when I played Sonic, they were, you know, flat platformers. But when I stopped, they were trying to, like, put in 3D stuff.
Sonic Forces is kind of fun because it's a mixture of 2D and 3D. So, like, you have this 3D world that you're working in, or that you're in. But every now and then, a level is an old-school Sonic level, which is, like, the 2D, you know, run left to right.
Oh, nice.
It's super cute, actually.
I've heard that like Sonic has gone through just a wild story where like in first in the 90s it hits and he was like making Super Mario look bad, but then like as production kept on going, they tried to innovate and it gets shitty, and then like it got worse, and then they turned him into a werewolf and they just started throwing all these weird things into it. And then like following the path of the Sonic fandom is just a blast because it gets so weird, because there's like the weird instance where he was like making out with a human princess and you're like, what are you guys doing? And then what happened by the end of it of the Sonic saga lately is that fans have been stepping up and they've like been helping create the new video games, which are now being called like some of the best ever made in the Sonic world. And then like the Sonic fan artists have become like the comic book artists and help redesign the movie Sonic. Wow. So the fans have risen up to resurrect Sonic going through like this weird, odd, crazy, shitty period.
We are like in an interesting period where a lot of the people who were fans of things as kids are now the ones writing and running them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The best.
Well, I just checked on Steam. Death Coming is $7, and it's definitely worth it.
So. All right. Good to know.
Are we all going to get the GTA 5 for free?
Oh, yeah. I already did.
I've been playing Animal Crossing nearly nonstop for no particular reason, other than it allows me to send all of my friends gifts, and I find that really satisfying.
Cool. And her island,
friend code later.
Yeah, her island is insane. It's absolutely insane. It's beautiful.
Aw, thanks. I'm actually gonna redo it soon. Because... Ugh, just flowers. I'm trying to grow flowers. They don't grow very fast unless you have other people water them, and people don't visit me very often, so they're just growing slow. It's okay.
Don't you get something if 5 people water them? There's something that you get. I keep seeing everyone saying, "I need a fifth person." I thought
at 5 people the sparkles become big sparkles and they bloom 80% of the time instead of 4% of the time.
Wait a minute, there are sparkles?
Sparkles. If you flower your waters, they have little sparkles, and if 5 people flower your waters, they get big sparkles and they grow a lot.
You know, I was thinking about talking to Style Pixie about inviting Michael over to our little hidden Discord.
Oh, yeah. So. Oh, I'll take care of that.
Shh, it's a secret.
Uh-huh.
Sorry. For our audience, you may be finding this week that you're lethargic and you're having trouble concentrating, and it's significantly difficult to do the stuff that you normally did before. And I want to say to you, don't worry. We are feeling exactly the same way.
Yeah.
In fact, right before we started recording, all of us had a conversation about how we've been having trouble getting out of bed this week and everything's just been extra difficult. So we're with you.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. It's hitting all of us. You're not alone. Yes. But hey, it's fun to, geek out. And Peter North actually returned my friend request on Facebook. I wonder if that's
Peter
North.
Cool.
Wait, the
you'll
adult?
You'll find out, I guess.
Oh, what? What?
I he's a friend of a friend, maybe. And I can't tell if it's a real profile or not. But I was like, is that really him? I wonder what he does when he's on his normal days. So I clicked it up. And
isn't he 80 now? Whatever.
He looks in
shape. Still got it. Come on.
Yeah. No, I know. Okay. This isn't a kid's show, but we can't talk about that stuff on here.
Right. No. I might draw the line there.
I love that everyone's I know that name.
Curiosity got me.
I actually just looked it up. So
is it all right? Anyway,
I guess I'm the innocent one. Whatever. It's fine.
Yeah, it's not important.
Adult actor.
No,
an adult actor.
I just watch different kinds of adult
films. Yeah.
This is not a conversation we should be having on this podcast.
Yeah, red alert canceled.
Can you tell we're having we're having an off week, everyone? Because I've had an off 3 weeks.
Oh God.
Weeks.
We were gone 3 weeks. We skipped last week because it was Mother's Day, something that most of us forgot about. Whoops. I did call my mom. No problem. So we're back after 3 weeks. We're probably going to stick to the every other week schedule until a new show starts, and then we'll go back to once a week when they come out once a week.
Mm-hmm.
But please don't leave us behind. We still love you. This week we're going to talk about the motion picture. I want to say something about the motion picture first. I thought it was really funny. When I was a teenager, I was in the Firefly fandom, because who wasn't? And somebody said, our fandom is the best. We're the first fandom to ever get a movie made of us after we got canceled. And I was like, I'm going to have to stop you there. The motion picture. Before we actually start about the movie, I want to talk about, the motion picture in your life. Not about the movie itself. Let me give you an example. I'll go first. When I was very young, I saw the motion picture, no doubt. My dad being a big Trekkie. Around when I was 18 or 19, somebody was talking about the motion picture, and I was like, I did not see it. I've never seen it in my life. I swear I have not. And we started watching it, and as I got further and further into the movie, I was like, hold on, this is familiar. I think I've seen this before, after all. I must have been wrong. And then I got to the scene at the end. You know the scene. The scene with Decker and Viger. You know the scene.
Spacegasm? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got to that scene at the end and I was like, oh my god, I have seen this. I erased it from my brain. Why? Why?
I know, this one is not liked by people. But me. I love it so much.
That's kind of my relationship with the motion picture. I had erased it repeatedly from my brain because the ending was just so bizarre to me, but rewatching it, I actually really, I feel like it has that kind of It didn't do itself any favors because it spent so much of its money and time being like, look at the cool special effects we could now do. Mm-hmm. And I think it spent too much time on the special effects, and that's why people are kind of bored by it. But mm-hmm. watching it kind of like the way that you would watch 2001 A Space Odyssey, I really mm-hmm. enjoyed it this time around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually watched it, my kiddo, along with, Roblox and Sonic and stuff. He's actually been, with this whole shelter-in-place thing, he's been watching a lot of Star Trek. And nice. It's cute because, you know, I'll come downstairs and he'll have, like, First Contact on. And I'm like, yes, so Dad, cool. win! Nice. Dad, win! You know? but we've been going through all the old movies. Because he's like, I want to learn about the first Enterprise, and I want to learn nice. About the NX-01, and I want to learn about, you know, so yes, yes. We've watched Enterprise, we've watched, the original series. He loves Trouble with Tribbles. He has a tribble now. That he put.
How does that make you feel as a geek dad? Right?
Oh, I'm so happy. And it's funny because he put a Mario hat, like Mario and Luigi. He put a Mario hat on it, so it's like a, it's like a Mario tribble. It's pretty hilarious, actually. But we've watched like the old movies and the motion picture and stuff, and he's really wanting to get into like the history. Like, he's really curious about it, and it just makes my heart explode.
How old is he?
7.
Cool. Wow,
that's awesome.
Yeah. So he's asking.
Almost makes me want to have kids.
Nice.
Yeah, and it's funny because he talks about it.
You
like
got to get him started early, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And well, and he talks about it like it's a real thing. Like, you know, when was the first Enterprise built? And like, what was the very first starship that was ever made? You know, and I'm like, well, you know, it's fiction. And he goes, I'm going to build an Enterprise when I grow up. And I'm like, oh my God, kid, I love you.
That is awesome.
I mean, he might build the very first one.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he'll become a...
It works for me. I'll take it.
All right, Jay, what's your relationship with this movie?
You know, my relationship with this movie, and it's funny because, same as you, when I was younger, I watched it, but I didn't remember it that well. So mm-hmm. as an adult, I watched it again, obviously, and the whole time, and it's not, no one's going to find this really that surprising, mm-hmm. but at the end of it, every time I watch it, I'm like, you know, is that where the Borg came from? You know what I'm saying? Like, and I know that there's like that, you know, there's like fan theories and stuff and all. And I've, and like it's a rabbit hole, you know, like the origin of the Borg is a rabbit hole that you'll never get out of. But every time I watch it, I just, at the end, I'm like, you know, Borg, Reacher. So it's just, and every time, because, you know, I love my Borg.
It's in a video game.
What? Too. You, Borg?
No. Never.
I wouldn't... Yeah, nonsense. Wouldn't know.
Yeah, exactly.
I need my Star Trek to be bigger. So, yeah. For me, they're definitely not Borg connections. I just want
I don't want it to be Borg, same.
I want, like, there to be vast things that just we don't know. That's just so freaking far out that we've never, like, we may never ever see it again. And, yeah. I just like that. But I do, like, when I first heard about, like, some video game saying that there was a Borg connection, I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. I mean, it was cool in a fan fiction kind of way, which to me is not looking down on something. Fan fiction's awesome.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah,
just for me, I need to have my universe being huge.
Yeah.
Yeah. The fact that Q had to shoot them way out there to meet the Borg, mm-hmm. to me, I don't want the Borg to be related to humans before then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But
I agree with that.
I get it.
Well, it's the curiosity. It's the curiosity like, because it's the unknown. From? Like, you don't know where they come from. Like, really.
I think it'd be fun if we had a series that went, like, where no series has gone before, even further into the reaches, and then, like, they might find out, like, a destroyed civilization that they mm-hmm. eventually realize is the originator of the Borg, but, like, the Borg themselves didn't live on that planet. So, like, maybe they created an AI or something. But whatever, I just don't want humans to be involved, because, like Keith said, I like my universes to be huge, and Star Trek... Star Trek is interesting because it simultaneously does, like, the universe is bigger than we are, and somehow the humans are at the center of everything. Sometimes.
Yeah. All the time.
Not somehow that one race peppered the galaxy with its DNA across, and that's why we're all humanoid.
Nope, nope, exactly. nope, nope. Pows. This is specifically stated in a TOS episode. I believe it's Who Mourns for Adonais, where he said there's like a godlike figure who says that they went around and they spread their seed to a bunch of different planets, and that's why a bunch of them look the same. And then Kirk goes, no, I'm going to stop you there. We actually have evidence of our evolution on planet Earth, so we know that we came from Earth and evolved naturally. And then Spock goes, yes, but actually this may explain something about the Vulcan history. Mm. So humans are not one of those races, but the Vulcans are.
Well, here's the thing, though, is that that was also done, I believe, in, was it TNG?
Yes,
or,
yeah, TNG.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or, yeah, right? Yeah, yeah. Because they did, they had to find these clues.
They found, basically, like, artifacts around the galaxy.
Yeah, exactly.
That were on a certain planet.
Exactly. And then once put together, there was that hologram that were like, hey, you all come from us.
And, like, well, it was like a being that kind of looked like humans, Vulcans.
Looked like a founder, and, like, or something.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
They had, like, all of our features that,
you know, the ancients. Throughout the
human races. Yeah, exactly. So they've you know, which is funny because I found a lot of similarities between episodes of the original series and TNG, obviously. Like, they would reuse certain things, obviously.
I find that a little distressing because I actually quite liked how that was like, hey, P.S., y'all, evolution is real, stop it.
Yeah, I know. I know.
It's still, evolution is still real. It's just like, they were the first to evolve, and they were alone in the galaxy.
Right, but I mean, like,
you know. And then they wanted more people to evolve, so they helped out. I like that connection, because then it explains why there's so many humanoids or straight-up humans in other places.
Yeah. Well, I think it was a way for Star Trek to, because, I mean, they're like, you know, for the longest time, like, why does everyone look human? I mean, even the Klingons in the original series didn't have ridges, you know? So they, you know, just, they're trying to explain away, like, why humanoids are everywhere and they look similar, which I get it, but at the same time, whatever, who cares?
Can I talk about my history with the motion picture?
Oh yeah. Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Sorry. Yet? Yeah.
No problem. For me, so I was there, Gandalf, 3,000 years ago. I got to Earth in 77 when Star Wars hit. So like, that was just my baseline of what movies were. Mm-hmm. And then like, I just bathed in all these like Star Wars ripoffs that were just popping off and like coming about. And then there's like the boring sci-fi that I love, like Close Encounters of the Third Kind. So
what?
When this hit,
you call that boring sci-fi?
Huh? To me, there's a good boring sci-fi.
Okay.
Versus like...
it's not adventurous sci-fi.
Say again?
It's not adventurous sci-fi.
Right, not whiz bang pow. Gotcha. It's, you know, somber. Flash you're Gordon. Sitting back. It's 2001. And we're taking our science fiction seriously. So what I found, like, doing some history about this, that this was like born from, they're like, whoa, we want Star Wars money. And wait, you can make money off of boring sci-fi like Close Encounters? We want to do that. So that's why it's very Close Encounters flashy. And like, for me as a kid, I just like bathed in like the glow of this kind of stuff where I just like loved it. I wasn't bored by like the long stretches of like nothing happening, and like it still hits it with me every time.
I do really like the V'ger reveal.
Yeah, like I as a kid, like I remember like replaying like that scene where like the little shuttle docks with the Enterprise for the first time with my toys. That's even like one of my wallpapers too. So I've loved this movie since the beginning, and like only recently have I found out that people say this is like a bad one.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, that's fine. Like, they can be wrong. But yeah, I love this movie.
Good. Michael.
Yeah.
What's your...
Well, I saw it like probably 20 years ago, and I don't remember it exactly when I saw it, but I always remember growing up that it was the boring Star Trek movie and the one that nobody liked. But I saw it I watched it a couple days ago, and I have to say I'm kind of like completely turned around. Because I mean, like, the movie was beautiful. There's a lot of Enterprise porn in there, which made me think of Keith.
Oh, yeah. Just whole moments of like, look at this thing that we made for you.
Oh yep. Yeah, exactly.
The look on his face is love. He's in love with that ship.
Oh God. Yeah. Oh yeah.
And I think just being older, I was able to appreciate the slowness of the movie. I didn't need all the whiz bang and gunshots and everything, or laser beams or whatever. So, no, I'm completely on Camp Keith now with this one. So. It was good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. you know, like, it gave me the feeling of a really long episode.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that, I'm okay with it.
Well, it was adapted from an episode, yeah.
Yeah.
It allows you just to get to be there. Just, like, you get to sit calm in there and, like, things aren't blowing up every freaking second. They're not running and, oh, my God. But, like, yeah, just... It's like warm bath water to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. No, it's great. I
mean, agree. Anyway.
I enjoy it very much. Now that I'm older, I think I appreciate it more than I did when I was younger.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
It is also a fun movie to, like, kind of make fun of. But, I mean, we make fun of everything we like, so that's certainly not a downside. All right, well, let's talk about the movie itself, then.
Well, so one thing I got to throw out, and I think it's one of those things I've always been curious about, or you know how in Hollywood you see the same actors and actresses and different things from casting and they're being known and stuff like that. And I love that, and this is two Trek movies, but I love that the parents from Seventh Heaven are both in Star Trek movies.
Oh, yeah.
Decker.
I'm just
shit,
like,
I didn't know that was him.
Yeah, I'm just like, dude, like, that's epic. Like, that's so cool. Because, like, I love both those, that actor and actress. And I'm just like, man, that's.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's so cool.
I am noticing this right now.
What?
So, good eye. Yeah, Decker, like, for me, like, when it comes to this kind of stuff, if you go that far back in time for these kind of movies, like, those characters are those characters. So I barely can tell that. That guy's an actor in other things. And yeah. To me, he's just Decker. But, oh, shit, he was in Seventh Heaven.
Yeah.
And, like, the mom. Yeah. Good eye.
Isn't that cool? I just... And they're both awesome. So I'm just like, man, that's such a cool tie-in.
And they both interact specifically with Kirk, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Some of the fun history of this is that this Enterprise and all... I think even Decker and, like, Ilea... They were all, like, pieces of the next TV series they're going to make called Star Trek Phase 2.
Yeah.
And I kind of really would have loved to see that.
Yeah.
Like a Star Trek in the 80s with Battlestar Galactica special effects.
Yeah. And no, it would have been, I know. I read about that and was like, man, I wish that would have
happened.
There's
an alternate universe somewhere out there where it exists.
Yeah.
And then there's a little bit of a kind of like a meta thing happening where, you know, they decide not to do that. They go with the movie franchise and bringing back Kirk. So Kirk is coming onto the ship, taking the TV show away from Decker. So it's kind of fancy that happen.
Yeah, that is always an interesting moment. In rewatching the movie, I found myself paying less attention to the plot and more attention to the character interactions. And there are some beautiful moments.
Oh, yeah.
From a lot of people. And that lady who plays the Delton, I don't know her name. Wow. Like, she goes from being, like, V'ger to being touched by something that Decker is doing to being, like, moved by him and then immediately, like, retreats back again without doing much more than just, like, her eyes and, like...
Yeah.
Wow. She does a great job.
Yeah.
I'm really impressed.
As a kid, I had a long time thing where I would just get angry if you kill a character. And for her, I've always kind of been kind of bitter because they introduce her and then they freaking vaporize her right away. And like no one's crying or anything. And then also like, sorry, like, there's going to be a lot of kid memories on this one because like while watching it, it was like the movie version of like, you know, your little child and like the bee or wasp comes around you and your parent says, stay still, it won't hurt you. And you're like, oh my fucking God. And then like that probe comes in and they're like, don't worry, it won't, and it freaking kills her. Like the parents were wrong. They were wrong. And she should have ran. And then they bring her back and it's not actually her. So yeah, it has always bothered me that like they kill her right away and then they bring back a replica, it's kind of almost rubbed in your face. And Decker, like, that's not her. It's
Yeah. Decker's response is a little weird because he's just like, well, I'm still in love with you. And it's like, wait, but that's not her at all. Wait, what?
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah. So you just love the way she looks?
Yeah.
She looks the same. Same.
And also, they kind of try to make it seem like, you know, maybe it's her. And then, like, no, because she straight up said that unit no longer functions. And, anyway. So, I could get all rambly about it, but.
Yeah. I love that actress, though.
Wait, hold on. Where the heck do you think you are right now?
Okay.
Why are you not?
Go down the rabbit hole.
This is a safe space.
As an older man now, I appreciate the arc of it, I guess.
but not of the treatment of the character. That's fair.
Why bring in a new character and just pop them at the beginning of the movie? Anyway. But it makes sense. It does create like drama and back and forth and weirdness and good sci-fi. But yeah, she seemed like she could have been a cool actual character of her own.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, the actress still got plenty to do, so I'm not that upset about it personally. But I see where you're coming from. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah.
I do love that actress and her portrayal. Like she was so good. It was amazing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Also, her name confused me and my family on what Princess Leia's name was. Because, like, the sci-fi back then kind of all mushed it together. And the references kind of mushed together. So, for a little while, me and my family called Princess Leia Princess Hylia.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. Princess Hylia.
I like that.
Ilia. Anyway, yeah. So, that's always a fun memory to tangle with.
I was also impressed by, like, the... There's some really beautiful lighting in that movie.
Oh, yeah.
There's a bit where, like, there's a blue light that's the same blue as Deckard's eye on the left side of his face. So, like, the whole left side of his body is that blue, and then on the right side, it's, like, a white light, except for his blue eye that's the same color.
Just nice.
Beautiful shot.
I was in love with the lighting in the spaceship porn. Like, just drooling and... Like, one of our roommates rolled by, and he was like, oh, I'm sure that was good for the time. I was like, no, it's good. It's good for now.
How dare you?
Yeah, it stands the test of time. And, like, the special effects like that mean more to me because it takes, like, literally, like, magician work to make it happen versus just tweet a computer and make it look like this, which I think is disrespectful probably to the hard work that people do in CGI. And I just don't understand how it works. Like my buddy, he does like special effects for like the big movies and shit, and he's trying to explain to me why the new graphics for the PS5 are amazing, and he's just using all these sentences that don't mean anything to me. So yeah, I just want to make sure, like, I do understand that I'm not blown away by CGI because I don't know really like all that goes into it versus like I do get to see like all the magic wizard work that takes special effects in the 80s to make it happen. So anyway.
No, I respect that. It is difficult to have a reasonable opinion of something when you don't know how it's made. But Jade Michael, you may have noticed that today I'm incapable of like really running things. So if you have something to say, please just do.
Will do.
Oh, I was just going to say, when I was watching it, like I told you before, I was just blown away by the visuals because I'd forgotten most of that. And I was like, when did this movie come out? It was like, I was like, you were saying it still holds up today.
Absolutely.
It was just like the shots of the Enterprise were just gorgeous. Yeah, so it's definitely what I'm going to put on my rotation to watch again, for sure.
Oh, yeah, let's talk about that Enterprise model for a sec. Jeez.
Oh, my
beautiful.
God.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
One of the greatest starships ever freaking made.
Yeah, we don't make physical models anymore. That's the thing.
It's all CGI. Yeah. And it's all copy and pasted CGI. Right, Keith?
Sometimes.
Yes. Bullshit. Like, sorry.
I want my Titan. Picard just didn't want to spend the money on that particular thing. It makes sense, but it's still disappointing. It's still disappointing. I get it.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That Enterprise to me is the default Enterprise. And what sucks is that I don't think it gets used much before it gets blown out of the sky.
It does not. No.
Yeah, because like I said, I love that ship so much, and like I really wish I'd gotten to see that ship for a full TV series. Mm-hmm. And to me, the TOS Enterprise is not the default.
It's this one.
It's so rugged looking, which I look forward to getting into that show someday, but yeah, this ship is just the ship. Also, when it comes to special effects, more childhood memories and up to now, I barely can see good special effects or notice them when they happen. Like when it comes to all my fiction, my brain has the dial of turning up or down depending on how good or bad the special effects are. So I don't mind if it's bad special effects. I'm like, oh, I'll just use my imagination. So when it comes to like this versus Star Trek V, I can barely tell the difference in like good special effects, but I know that like, it's vast. Like they had the Masters on the first one and they had the D team on number 5. So
interesting.
That's my feelings on special effects.
I usually notice them, but I mean, I know it's hard for you to watch TOS because you find it janky. It's really easy for me to just be like, whatever. Yeah, no, I do like that. I'm
looking forward to bringing my imagination to that show.
There's kind of a weirdness with the motion picture that I think is kind of like similar to Avatar, where Avatar was really popular in the blue one. I'm not talking about Avatar, The Last Airbender. James Cameron's Avatar.
Yeah.
It was very popular when it was in the cinema because it had like these amazing new 3D special effects that were super beautiful. And then afterwards, people were like, I noticed now that I was watching it on a small screen that it doesn't actually have as much plot as I thought it did. And once it left the theaters, it kind of lost interest. Motion Picture had a similar thing, specifically with it spending a lot of time on the special effects that I could show you on a big screen. I feel like the Motion Picture didn't do so well because they were like, look at these beautiful things. And then Trekkies who were trained to be like, hold on, I think about things that I do, were like, I had hoped for more. But watching it now, like, it makes me feel nice.
Yeah, I'm actually watching the scene again right now. It's amazing.
It's a great movie.
What?
Absolutely.
How are you? What?
I mean, I'm not. I'm totally focused on the podcast.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to tell me? I love that he created this podcast, and he's like, wait, no, I'm focused. I'm listening.
I'm totally paying attention. I'm not just rewatching the movie again.
Just that immersion.
Just that scene. Like, just that one scene. I needed some more Enterprise porn. Sorry.
Oh, no, I get it. I get it. I actually, in Star Trek 2009, there's a shot where James T. Kirk is in the shuttle with Bones and he leans over him and sees the Enterprise for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And that reminds me of the scene in the motion picture when it happens. So that's one of the reasons I was like really fond of that scene. Because I'm like, oh, it's like the motion picture. But similarly to Mr. Pine, Mr. Shatner, even though like it's so funny, it's so easy to make fun of Shatner's acting, but like... That is
what
such
are you
a nice
talking
moment.
About?
I say yeah, for the is. Most part in this movie, he's a freaking great actor. Like he doesn't like the only times I saw him fall into the meme Kirk was when he'd say the word Spock.
Spock.
It was really cute and funny when like he'd say it and I'd giggle. He's like, it's like the meme. But otherwise, like he knows when to tone it down, he knows when to be serious and yeah, he's a good leading man, and I like I said once again, have more fun with him in the movies so far than finding out the legend that he was in the TV series.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, Shatner's amazing.
How do you see him, Sabrina? Since like you're like the big fan of the TOS, like is there that much of a difference between the show and the movie?
I mean, not really. A bit. I mean, because Kirk doesn't do as much like I'm big captain in this movie, but like in the way that he kind of takes over from Decker because he's like I just need and his response when Spock walks onto the ship and like his relationship with Bones, those are all like the things that are most important to me in TOS, and they're definitely in the motion picture, so it really feels like an extension of the same thing to me. It's all like about the relationships when Spock shows up and he like responds emotionally to everybody because he's just like gone through Kulinar and they're all like, wait, what the fuck is happening? Like looking at each other. Mm-hmm. That is such a great moment to me because it means that like everybody there knew each other really. And they're all like so excited that Spock is back. And when he has a weird response, literally the whole crew is like looking at each other like the fuck.
That's Spock. I thought they took it. So for me,
I'm sorry.
Enough history. Was it normal for like what I saw was this was like, Spock doesn't do emotions, and like they all understand that, and like they're doing their thing and just showering him with love. But Spock is doing his, you know, Vulcan thing, going, I don't do that. They're like, that's our guy.
I see how you would feel that way from the way that Vulcans are kind of shown in TNG and Voyager, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But in TOS, Spock was actually like, he would talk about how he didn't really have emotions, but then it was kind of a joke. Like Kirk and Bones would always tease him about it. He actually smiled quite a few times in the show. And I'm not just talking about the first episode, like, or the time that he got like infected by flower things. Spock is a lot more emotional than people think that he is for people who haven't watched TOS. Like, he makes snarky comments all the fucking time. He's a little snide. He actually, like, he has a decent sense of humor. He just pretends he doesn't. Mm-hmm. So
he burned Bones in this movie.
What'd you say?
he burned the hell out of bones in this movie. Like,
oh, that's pretty typical.
To me, it's like, and you never cease to stop being irrelevant. I was like, oh my god.
People who don't watch TOS have a tendency to think that Bones is racist towards him because he keeps calling him a green-blooded hobgoblin. Yeah, but it's like. It's their weird friendship. Like, mm-hmm. they jibe at each other constantly. They, like, just snipe at each other over Kirk. It's really cute. I love it.
Yeah.
So, no, actually, Spock's, like, total lack of response to them is actually unusual.
Oh, interesting.
So.
Yeah,
that's just the pop culture version of Spock as opposed to real Spock. Just, like, the pop culture version of Kirk is, like, Zap Brannigan, but actual Kirk, like... is very different.
So I thought that was like him being base Vulcan, but this was him being Vulcan after that ceremony.
After Kolinar, yep.
Yeah, because after he like touched V'ger and like started acting all like smiley and stuff, it got really weird to me. I was like, did he get like infected by
it? Part where he's like holding hands with Kirk and he's like, this simple feeling that V'ger will never understand. That's a pretty that's a pretty normal interaction between them, actually.
All right, cool. Yeah, it always weirded me. I'm like, all right, man, like you had traumatic experience, I see. But I get that. I watched another review that did say that he had completed some kind of quest that he was like, you know, started with in that ceremony.
Yeah.
And that's why he was able to let go and be, I guess, what's normal Spock, actually.
Yeah, because Kolinar was about him totally purging his emotions. But then he couldn't because he had a feeling that he just couldn't get rid of. Just a little lesson in fandom for y'all. If you ever read fan fiction and you see the word slash is referring to two male or two female characters in a relationship, a homosexual relationship. Mm-hmm. And it comes from the Star Trek fandom. Kirk and Spock was a very popular pairing. And it was written first, you would use like the and sign to be like a platonic relationship, and then the slash sign to be like a romantic relationship, and then it got shortened from Kirk slash Spock to K slash S, and then just slash, and then slash came to mean like any gay relationship. So
nice. I didn't know that.
Star Trek. Mary Sue's also come from Star Trek, the term Mary Sue, because so many people would write fan fiction where their character did all of the things, and Kirk and Spock and Bones were in love with them, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah.
Michael Burnham, unfortunately, after me stepping back for a couple, like at least the first season, she is a Mary Sue. I can't get around that one.
I haven't watched it. Can't commit.
Yeah. Well, real quickly, like I thought that, like, you know, Mary Sue's are perfect, and she is kind of perfect, but you know, she eats shit in the first season because she fucked up really bad. So I figured like that doesn't count, but all of her fucking up really makes her into even like the cooler person that everyone's been cool. Anyway, yeah, Michael Burnham, I have an iffy relationship with her.
Speaking of,
go ahead. No, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, speaking of Michael Burnham, and Sabrina not watching Discovery. Considering that's the next show that's going to be coming out, we should probably catch you up so we can maybe talk about it on the podcast.
Yeah. Oh, we're definitely going to talk inflection. About Strange New Worlds. And I'm very much hoping that with a title like Strange New Worlds, it actually ends up being like
exploring.
Well, no. I'm talking about actually Discovery Season 3 is coming out. That's the one that's coming out before anything else. Was supposed to be out by the end of April, I thought. So that was the rumor, at least. So we should catch you up on Discovery so you can chat with us about it. If you're cool with that.
Way woot.
I did hear season 2 was a lot less traumatic.
Season better. Yeah. Well, the season 2, and no spoilers, but the season 2 finale, actually, I was kind of blown away by.
I'm
very excited, very excited about this next season.
Like,
I will...
I know what that spoiler is.
Okay. I'm not going to,
trash.
But I'm so excited.
I thought season 2 was freaking trash. Like, I was so mad because I felt like, I know a lot of people were disappointed with season 1, and like, I thought it was iffy, but I thought it was a good, solid start of something that could be fun. And then I just saw too much of like fan feedback in season 2. And it got a little too, like, they did a little ripping off of the Orville, and I'm like, you had a thing of your own, and, and then, like, they do dumb stuff at the end and things don't make sense. Pike is cool, though.
Yeah. Honestly, Strange New World's going to be amazing. Like that, I think the Strange New World is going to be the closest to our episodic Trek that we used to have.
They did say they could do
like
that.
I really do think that Strange New Worlds is going to be pretty amazing.
They said it was going to be episodic, right?
I think so. I think they did say that, yeah.
Back to the Twilight Zone.
I'm so excited. And Pike's amazing. Like, Rebecca Romaine, Anson Mount.
Anson.
What's that?
Anson.
Did I? Oh, sorry. I thought I said that.
Don't worry about it.
Anton.
I literally only know his name. and that after he showed up as Pike, like, I'm in a couple of different Star Trek groups, and one of them is like I don't want to talk too much about it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in a bunch of different Star Trek groups, and let me just say the thirst posting when Anson Mount showed up just like ratcheted up.
He is a beautiful,
Pike
beautiful
is serious
man.
Man crushing, man. He's freaking cool.
I saw this meme where it's like, you know, straight men. When they see Anson Mount, and it's like, you know, a light going into a prism, and then Anson mounts the prism,
and it comes
and
out the
turns
other
into
side,
a rainbow.
Yep.
And I'm like, that is perfect, because, I mean, come on, like, I'm a straight male, and Anson Mount is a beautiful man.
He's a good-looking guy, I agree.
Yeah, I was actually, like, the entire season, I was waiting to find out, but when do they ruin him? And, like, they keep not doing it, and I was like, but when do we find out he's really a bad guy?
No,
he's just cool.
No, Pike's,
and like,
Pike's the man.
Like, holy cool.
Well,
and that bridge they made for the Enterprise is just crazy. That was like I was thinking there's like explosive feedback about Pike, like on a daily basis on like the Star Trek groups. And then they put so much work into that set. I was like, there's no way they're not going to like do something with that. So here we are.
So I was so excited that it officially got announced finally. I know we're supposed to talk about the motion picture, but there's so much Star Trek world. It all ties together. And one thing...
We are making our way through the planets of topics in this solar system, and we'll make our way back to Starbase and talk about the...
And speaking of Pike, actually, the actor that portrayed Pike in the Kelvin timeline actually loved, too. Like, that Pike was amazing. So, I mean, the character Pike is... Like, it's so cool to see these different... interpretations of Pike, but they're all really epic and amazing. And even the original, you know, the was it the Menagerie, I think it was, the pilot, I forget the name, but when Pike was the captain before Kirk came.
It'll be cool to see him have his own show.
It is called the Menagerie.
Oh my god. Okay, not to bring up memes, but Bill Paxton's birthday. And, you know, he passed away and stuff. Mm-hmm. And, like, I just found this picture. It's, like, a drawn picture of a Terminator, a Predator, and a Xenomorph at his grave pouring out 40s and, like, putting their hand over their hearts. Like, oh, my God. That is just my heart. Oh, God, that is beautiful.
I love fandom.
Absolutely.
Like, on the one hand, there's a lot of, like, really stupid shit that happens in fandom. People accusing each other of dumb things, whatever. Mm-hmm. There's always going to be infighting. But also, there's a lot of things that happen there that just, like, make me feel better about humanity in general.
Exactly.
Like, supporting each other, doing stuff like that. That's so, so cute.
Not to get too further off topic, but, like, when it comes to, like, just wanting to talk about fandom like that, like, the media has gone nuts about how toxic and evil the Star Wars fandom is.
Oh, as usual, the media is just, like, repudiating the worst parts of it and ignoring the best.
Yeah, and then, like, throughout this whole time, like, I've been watching the fandom, and, like, I saw Star Wars fandom has never been better. Like, it was incredible watching, like I even wondered if Disney did it on purpose sometimes, that the further they trashed things and did things terrible in the movies, like, the more love grew for those things that we love. Like, Luke Skywalker has never been more loved than he is now.
Yeah.
I've never seen more groups or memes or videos about Star Wars. Like, and once upon a time, like, the Extended Universe books, for us, they're good. I liked them. They're fun. But, like, you know, people didn't, like, give a shit, it felt like.
And now they're reading
And now there's,
them.
Like, yeah, now people, like, my friends, like, you know, maybe I go to those books or read now. And there's, like, groups that they're almost religiously in love with it. And, like, yeah, like, fandoms are freaking great. And Star Wars fandom has... I've never seen it become like this. Like, we've always been passionate, but kind of quietly. Mm-hmm. And now it's just, like, a symphony of love and creation and people making their short mm-hmm. movies and critique videos. Like, yeah. That's nice. Go Star Wars fandom. I've never seen this happen before. So it's kind of cool to see it happen now.
Although I will say that one of the reasons you didn't see fandom in the 80s is just because not internet.
Oh, yeah.
Not, yeah, which is not to say they didn't exist, because I know at least in Star Trek, they had magazines that, like, fans would write stories in print, and then they'd, like, mail out to each other. Cool. It's freaking cute, dude.
Yeah, finding, like, another Star Wars geek back in the 80s was, like, coming across another Highlander immortal. It was kind of fun.
How would all the Star Trek grandmas?
There can only be one!
You get eye contact, you're like, you can see me too? Yes, I can see you. You're like, ah, yes.
Dude, Highlander was amazing.
Yes, I agree.
Do we even have a topic today?
I don't really know. It's
you want to talk about what's your favorite scene in the motion picture?
I don't know the names of them. So the main theme I'm in love with because it crossed over into the TV show. But yeah, the soundtrack is just freaking gorgeous.
The first time you see the Enterprise and the theme comes on. Yeah.
I cheered out loud. There are people making dinner in the kitchen. And then they snap to that shot where you look at the front of the Enterprise and the music kicks in. And I go, oh my God, yeah!
It was so satisfying.
Yeah. My favorite scene, you said scene or theme?
I did say scene.
Scene.
But theme's okay. Fine.
My favorite scene is when they rub the name V'ger and realize what it is.
Yeah.
Like that.
He's like, wait a second.
Yeah. And I mean, it's one of those things where when you, I remember when I was a kid, that's one scene that I actually do remember from when I was a kid. And mm-hmm. it was one of those things where, you know, V'ger, V'ger, V'ger. And then they kind of unveil what it is, and it's our probe. And I'm like, what? And I mean, I was a kid and I was just like, my brain exploded, you know? Mm-hmm. So every time I see that scene, it just kind of reminds me of when I was a kid, which is fun.
I had to have that like explained to me and then still not totally get it. I was crazy young. What? And then eventually over time I did get it and like, I freaking love it. And then I also have to have my headcanon says, no, it's one of the real Voyager probes, not Voyager 6.
Imagined 6. yeah. I'm actually with you on that.
Nope, you didn't say that.
You know, I was telling you about how I had erased the ending from my mind several times. Mm-hmm. Every single time I watch the motion picture, it's when it gets to that bit and we see the real Voyager. Like, it looks like one of our props, like in the middle of that like super sci-fi. All of a sudden, there's just like our old school Voyager probe. Every single time I see it, I remember the whole movie. I'm like, oh, yep, I've seen this. Because of that one moment is just so distinct when you see it, like, standing out amongst all the props that are, like, futuristic, and then all of a sudden there's this little shitty tinfoil beautiful probe. Like,
I love the concept of, like, this vast, like, machine civilization that's just so beyond organics that, like, they don't recognize organics, and then like they found our probe, and for them it was like finding like a bird with a broken wing. They're like, oh my God, look at this thing. Here, we'll hook you up, get you a normal like outer coating, maybe some AI, we'll fix you out, buddy.
Yeah, the Borg will take care of you. The Borg will take care of you.
And the little V'ger is just like the little heart in the center. Just looking for its daddy.
Mm-hmm.
I love also that Spock's just like, it's operating by radio. And somebody's like, radio? Who the fuck uses radio anymore? No wonder we couldn't respond. Radio? Pff, what's that?
Does it have lasers too? Oh my God. It took becoming a grown man to see all the sexual overtones. I did not see them as a kid, and like when people make those jokes, I was like, would you shut up?
What, the V'ger sphincter orifice is
straight
thing?
Up like, huh?
The V'ger Decker thing? Which sexual things are you referring to?
There's V'ger Decker, and then there's also like all the imagery of like the orifice like pulsing.
Oh yeah, I see.
I highly question though. I don't believe this one. Like a video was saying that there's like a shot of V'ger that I post up online that they say looks like a sideways vagina, which I don't believe that one. Sorry, guys.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, yeah. To me, I mean, it looks like a.
It's clear at the end that they're doing the do, but in whatever weird way they can. I do find it really weird that Decker's, like, obsessed with V'ger just because she looks like...
Yeah. His he should old be girlfriend. Furious.
Yeah.
He, like, vaguely is at the beginning. He's like, well, I don't really feel comfortable. And then he's like, you know what? You know what? She's still hot. I'll still do her. And we're like, wait, that's not. He's, like, really into it. He's like, I want to do it. And I'm like, okay. He's like,
is she fully functional? That's what's the question.
Well, they made a joke that, like, they hinted that she is fully functional by saying, yes, her eyes have moisture eyes shifting. Like, oh.
God, why?
It killed your girlfriend, dude.
So like, thirsty.
Stop it. But also, like, for me, I was still diving to the question that, well, no. Okay, I guess I answered my own question right there. I was like, look, we also don't know if it has a soul. We can't always assume. Just because an AI is acting like, you know, it's sentient, doesn't mean it's sentient. But
yes, thank you.
Spock was straight up able to sense it, so that confirms it's sentient. So anyway, it still kills his girlfriend. Stop it, Deckard. Chill out.
Michael, what's your favorite scene?
Well, of course, I like the Enterprise shots in the beginning.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's hard not to.
Yeah, it's a given. I also don't mind the sparkly Decker, V'ger, Elia scene or whatever at the end.
Love it.
I think it just made me really uncomfortable as a kid.
Oh yeah.
Scared me as a kid.
One of my other weird favorite scenes is seeing the grumpy bearded McCoy at the beginning.
Yeah, Disco McCoy.
I just like everybody's favorite grumpy uncle, so I like that scene.
They drafted me.
Oh, true. Son of a bitch. Damn it, love Jim. McCoy. And it's funny too because they make fun of him throughout TOS. They kind of like tease him about the fact that he hates using the transporter.
Yeah.
But then they, like, kill two people in the transporter right in front of us, so it's like, yeah, fair enough, dude. Fair enough.
I wouldn't use it either.
Like, next.
We better inform those people that their people died in the line of duty. Like, and then Bones is like, I'm not doing it.
Where's Tuvix at?
Also, yeah. Ouch.
Test it on him.
It's a whole other podcast.
Yeah, I know.
Was Janeway right? The episode.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That might be something we want to avoid doing.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Too much controversy.
Fun fact, Scotty is missing a finger.
Yeah.
He is, yes, because James Doohan. Do you want to tell the story, Michael? Do you know it?
Nah, I don't know it well enough to tell it.
I don't know. All right, why.
Keith, do you know?
No, I don't know why.
You don't know why he's missing a finger?
Well, I know that he was in the war. I don't know specifically his finger, though.
He did lose it in the war, okay, yes.
Yeah.
Whoa.
That's what I thought, holy yeah. Shit. He was, he was a soldier. And a pretty badass one, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, he actually, I think he deliberately avoided showing it in as many scenes as possible, that he was missing a finger. But, I mean, he is, indeed, for realsies, because he was a soldier. Yep.
Yeah.
What a badass.
The original Black Ranger also is missing a finger, but he's just bored without it.
I did not know that.
Oh, and let me tell you a story about James Doohan for a second.
And the best Pink Please Ranger do. Is Kimberly, right? Keith? No, I'm just kidding. I'm sorry.
No. No, it's not Kimberly.
We're not having a Power Rangers discussion right now. You're only trolling, Jay.
I just had to pick on Keith. I'm sorry.
I don't understand that, but I love
one
it
one
that
the best Pink Rangers is one of the greatest leaders of any of the shows.
Okay, we all... We on this podcast, we only troll each other about Star Trek, okay?
Okay. Sorry, Sabrina.
Okay, so fun story about James Doohan. He famously talked about a girl who came to see him at a... She wrote him a fan letter that was very sad, and basically she was facing up with some issues that some of us know about. She was thinking about, you know, not being alive anymore. And he wrote her back and he asked her to come see him at a convention so that they could talk face to face. And I believe he even paid for it, but I don't recall. And then for years he would talk to her at all of the conventions that she attended, and she ended up becoming an engineer.
Yeah. Well, he said it's one of the best things. He said it's the best thing he's done in his life. I mean,
it's the best thing
he saved someone's life, you know? And I mean that, like, James Doohan was such an amazing person, just obviously playing Scotty, and then, you know, in the war, I mean, just you look at him beyond Scotty and you look at the person and you just realize, like, God, he was such a great person. Like, look at the stuff that he did. He was such a genuine person. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It just, it makes your heart happy.
And even managed to preserve himself within a transporter loop for decades until he came out of it. And I was like, what, Scotty? Yeah.
That's right.
What's happening, man? I love that part where he... there's like this metaphor that like him and Geordi are talking about where they're like, ah, this old shuttle, man, no one's gonna use this thing anymore. And like Geordi's like, actually no, like this one would probably still be in service. I was like, it kind of added to the fiction to me that like their ships are built to last, so like you could have a 100-year-old like still exploring ship,
which is nice.
Still kick-ass technology.
I'd like us to go back to building things to last,
as long as it doesn't go warp 10 and turn them into lizards. Yeah.
Lizard
sex. Don't go too fast. Listen, okay, those lizards are highly advanced. Mm-hmm.
Lizard love. And
populating a planet now.
Yay. That should be a new series. What happened to the Janeway Paris planet?
True.
I don't want to know.
Watch that. Well, once we become a spacefaring civilization,
there you go.
Another favorite scene that I like is like I hate they killed the girl, but it was the way they shot that scene with like the probe and like it's just gonna go and that sound effect. Mm-hmm. And then like the weird, I don't know how they did it, but everyone's moving very strangely, like too hyper fast, and it's creepy and scary. Mm-hmm. And like diving in the front of it, and like
I think they messed Spock with just smashes it. I think they messed with the frame rate.
Yeah. The way they do that just always creeps me out. Like, you've now encountered something beyond, like, human understanding. And this is, like, I don't know, just affects your entire world how you see it. Mm-hmm. Love that scene.
It's kind of amazing what they can do pre-digital. You know what I mean? Like, just the what they were able to do with the technology they had is still really impressive to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Dun,
dun, dun. Going through my other notes. I love V'ger because its shape is almost beyond imagination.
Like it has planets stored inside. Mm-hmm. And it's all information in theory, but like, so beautiful. Mm-hmm.
And like the core, like the shape of it, like you can barely tell what the shape is. It's so freaking alien and out there. Love the music that happens while you're just flying through it. And like I was watching the Nostalgia Critic, and like he just was screaming at the scene because it was boring to him, like, you know, all these like 15-minute long scenes of it just flying slowly through something. And for me, it's just once again visual bathwater, just going, oh yes. So that's my feelings on feature. Yeah, I guess like when it comes to these like movie reviews, we should have like a format of like things that are going to hit, and then we can know like when we're wrapping up.
That's a good call.
Yeah. No. Well, I mean, so not to, you know, jump backwards, but one thing that hasn't come up yet that I actually always find pretty cool is how the Klingons get just disintegrated. You know what I mean? Like, they're like, we're Klingons, rush, fire everything, we're gonna kill everything, and then they're just, like, gone. Like, you're disintegrated, bye-bye.
Yeah. Mirror's like, I don't have time.
Love the design of those ships, and, like, in close-ups of all the details, they just kind of slowly flow through space. And then, like, the torpedo launcher has, like, carbon scoring on it. It's, like, you know, it's a little scuffed because, you know, Klingons don't give a shit about safety.
Like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, love the little details. Mm-hmm. And miss this kind of science fiction, even. To me, this is when Star Trek's at its best, when it's 2001 and it's, you know, looking out into like the distant black, and like, you know, you see something that you've never seen before, and you deal with that, versus, I think they made like good money on Wrath of Khan, and now they've just been recycling the Wrath of Khan format way too much.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Even though I loved Star Trek Beyond, it's still crazy guy wants revenge, destroy everything.
Yep.
Like, you know what's funny is Beyond was probably my least favorite of the new movies.
What? Yeah. I'm offended.
Believe it or not.
I was going to say, really love Beyond? I don't know about that.
But... Yeah, like...
Yeah, it was the... To me, it's the best of them.
Yeah. Huh. To each their own. Okay. Yeah,
sorry, right. I just have such anger against Into Darkness that I can't.
Yeah. Like, well, my favorite's still the first one. That opening scene with like the just the torpedo volleys and just all the carnage that happens.
Oh, the Kelvin scene is
amazing.
Oh
my god! Like it just that whole movie.
Like, hey, fuck your movie for making me cry in like the first 10 minutes. Yeah. That's rude.
Yeah, I know. And then Thor, come on. No, I'm just kidding.
Skinny Thor. Pre-Thor.
He was the driving force behind trying to make a sequel. I know. That didn't happen.
Makes me sad.
I'm not surprised that it didn't happen because he became Thor in between the two movies. And same with Chris Pine because he started being in the Wonder Woman movies. Yeah. They just like couldn't afford them anymore.
Yeah. Oh, we're jumping around so much. It's so like... This is such a, like, a, this, so yeah.
Good.
So, I've always found it super funny that, do you guys see that movie that Chris Pine and Tom Hardy were in, where they were, like, fighting over Reese Witherspoon? And yes. I was like, no. Picard and Kirk are fighting over a woman!
No. What movie is this?
It's called This Is War.
Yeah, This Is War, yeah. Oh. Or This Means War.
It was originally advertised as like a like white spy versus black spy kind of thing, with two spies fucking each other. But it's really just two dudes who are buddies who are spies fall for the same girl, and then they fight over her. But it's typical like romantic comedy where if you look too deep at it, you're like, hold on, everybody in this movie is sketchy as heck, you know? Because they're both lying to her and using their spy powers to like trick each other up and spying on each other and spying on her, and meanwhile she's talking to her best friend and who's married, and her best friend is like, bang both of them for me, honey. And it's
I hate romantic comedies,
it's definitely
I understand it is a format,
it's definitely cringeworthy, but it's but I couldn't help like, I was like, oh, I'm totally gonna see this in the theater because my captains are in it, so it is what it is.
Yeah. It's dorky and funny if you don't look at it too deeply. It's what most romantic comedies are
it's for. Just, and then Tom Hardy goes on to play Bane, and then Chris Pine goes on to... You know, it's just crazy. Like, they're all... Mm. I love how Star Trek has... Because Star Trek kind of created... Like, well, Star Trek's created careers for a lot of people. You know what I mean? Like, it just it just goes to show you how amazing... the fandom and the just what Star Trek is can be, you know.
I'll take your word.
Speaking of Star Trek and its world building, I'm not to cut you off.
You're good.
Finish up what you. Okay, yeah, sorry. I don't mean to jump.
Whatever, in. Keith.
I want to talk.
Oh my god, talk.
Okay. Just saying. I like the world building that they. Threw away right away, but I always like the idea of like the stages of getting into space, so that like I love the idea where you're not supposed to go in warp while you're still in the solar system, because it's littered with asteroids and planets and moons and stuff, and that they ran into a problem right away. That was kind of cool to me. But then like by the end of the movie, they're like, all right, let's see what's out there, and they just jump to warp, and then they throw it away right away. And even in like the fourth one, they like go to warp in atmosphere, like, I thought we were doing a thing, guys.
In atmosphere? You're trying to kill everyone? What's going on?
Didn't you read the manual?
Yeah. That was supposed to be in Star Wars too. You can't do hyperspace with it near gravity wells, but light skipping. Like, stick to world building, people.
Yes, please, thank you. My poor Discord, I was like, you guys, you don't want me to run a Star Trek game, because if I run a Star Trek game, I will get on your back about all the little things that, like, even the show doesn't necessarily think are that important.
Yes.
Like, if you're not wearing your uniform, you're in trouble.
I'm just saying. Chimed in.
You have to worry.
I chimed in. I was like, I'm so excited for this.
I mean, for the counselor, I could see.
Yeah, because Jay likes it when I bully people.
Yeah. Because she's right.
Yes, she is.
Don't say that much, then I'm going to get a big head and I'm going to start bullying everyone again. Okay. Oh, wait, you just said you wanted that. Mm-hmm. Wait, hold on.
Wait, for Star Trek, yeah.
Da, 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 da.
This is all, I would all say that it is interesting that they went this route. Like, it was Star Wars that made them go, holy shit, we can do that. But then I wonder, why did they decide to go 2001 route instead of
I would say that the 2001 route is closer to TOS's essence than the Star Wars route.
Yeah.
So I keep on hearing TOS is
philosophical.
Like is oh, okay. Because I've heard it described as wagon, like, I forget the T-shirt.
Oh, So, Firefly did not do the Western in space first. Star Trek did the Western in space first. Literally, McCoy is, DeForest Kelly was, like, a Western actor. It is very much that kind of, we're alone out here this far into the reaches and there's nobody around to help us kind of, like, Wild West thing. But it doesn't have that, like, it's all about,
space cowboys. It's
the
not
cowboys.
Space,
part. Mostly. I mean, it depends on the episode. Again, TOS had a really, low budget, so a lot of its episodes are written based on, like, kind of what else was filming, what sets they could steal, what costumes they could steal. So there are some episodes that are straight up like that, but in general it's a lot more philosophical than what people expect. I think that's one of the reasons they don't like TOS. The other one is because, you know, the sets are really old and janky, and they were very cheaply made even at the time because they had such a small budget. So
if they can treat it seriously, then that wins me over.
Well, maybe we should do a watch then.
What are we gonna watch?
TOS.
Let's do it. Oh, you know.
We don't have to watch all the episodes. We can skip some if you want. I mean, some of them are bad.
Yeah.
Just like any other show.
So, fun fact, you know, episodes. You can stream Amazon Prime TV shows and stuff on Twitch now, right? So, we can do a TOS. TOS is on it. And we can do a TOS watch through on Twitch. How cool is that?
We could if I had Amazon Prime.
I have Amazon Prime.
Your Amazon Prime is attached to your Twitch.
But you know what I'm saying. Like, we could do, we'll do like a multi stream.
You'd be turning on a watch party.
Yeah, exactly. You guys want to watch TV? Let's do it. I'm down. I've been looking for an excuse to like hang out and just watch TV and Twitch.
Well, if we do that, I mean, we might as well invite everybody. We can just set it up.
Let's do it.
Word.
Y'all, if you haven't joined our Discord yet, bother Michael to get the link to our Discord so you can join our Discord so you can watch TOS with us.
Do it.
Yes.
Watch parties are the best. That's one thing that I'll admit. This is going outside of Star Trek. I apologize all. But this Discord server I belong to, Sabrina belongs to it too. We do watch parties. Like, it's funny because usually Sunday nights we'll have like an anime watch party. Where we just watch.
He says we do watch parties, but I'm not at any of those because they're all in the middle of the night and I actually go to sleep at a normal hour.
So like me and Erica and Jessa and everyone, we just kind of hang out and watch anime and just kind of chat. And it's funny because it's a real cool like way to end the week because this like, you know, again, we've been having like crazy weeks. So and on Sunday nights, we hop on the Discord and we just watch anime. We have a watch party together. We just talk or cry. Or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Sometimes you need a crack.
And it's kind of like, it's funny how important the, like, watch parties and the gatherings on Discord or on just Zoom or whatever have become. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I really can't imagine what it was like during the Spanish flu when they had to shut everything up in the 1918s. Almost exactly 100 years ago. Mm-hmm. Because they couldn't have done what we're doing.
I know.
They couldn't keep socializing online and stuff. So, definitely.
Yeah, with like the dial-up connection, just like really slow.
You said the dial-up connection?
Didn't have broadband back then.
What did they have? 56K? Caving. Jesus.
I couldn't have made it back then.
Yeah. My mom says 56K is not a real thing. It's not a real thing.
Man, I do not miss the internet dial tone. That was painful.
Tell me about it. Oh, AOL. I'm sure I still have...
And then somebody would call us and it would hang up.
You know, I'm sure I still have one of those old AOL discs somewhere, like in my garage somewhere.
Oh, yeah, God, yeah. Please.
I
know.
I wonder.
So, in essence, despite us giving us shit for years, it turns out we all kind of like the
absolutely. Oh, yeah.
Hell absolutely. Yeah. Yep. Bring back boring science fiction. I want to freaking just sit there, be okay, get my mind blown by the grandeur of the freaking universe. Yeah.
Don't call it boring.
I will call it boring.
How about meditative?
I like to... To me, it's making fun of what people call it and then owning it as a good thing.
Gotcha. I gotcha. Yeah. More boring sci-fi.
It's definitely
more boring sci-fi.
Mm-hmm. Give me some, Arrival, good boring sci-fi.
With, what's his name?
With her?
Oh.
She's in something else that...
I was...
She talks to aliens through a wall.
Oh, never mind.
Not Charlie Sheen.
I was thinking the Charlie Sheen one.
What?
Sorry.
What are you talking about?
Wait, so you guys know... which Arrival do you guys know about?
The Charlie Sheen one.
Not the Amy
no,
Adams?
No, I know about the Amy Adams one.
That's the one I'm okay. familiar with.
Okay.
But you don't know the Charlie Sheen one?
Mm-hmm. No.
I don't know the Charlie Sheen one.
I don't remember like too many of the details, but it's like he's regular guy running around waving his arms going, and there's like aliens and stuff.
That's essentially it. Mm. Right. Oh, the Amy Adams. I'm so sorry. Yeah. That one was amazing.
Yeah, The Arrival with Amy Adams, if you haven't seen it and you want some meditative sci-fi, I highly recommend.
So good.
It's a little complex for some people. The funniest moment I ever had working at AMC, I was a manager at the movie theater when Arrival came out. Or a supervisor or something. And a lady asked me about the movie after she had seen it, because evidently her and the people in the audience didn't understand what was happening. So I explained the whole concept to her, and at the end she goes, "You should be a scientist." thank you.
Yeah.
Arrival is wonderful also because it mixes two of my favorite theories. One of which is the lingual theory. It's not really a theory. It's pretty much like, you know, like the theory of gravity. Like, we still call it a theory because there's no way to disprove it, but like, we're pretty sure it's right. There's a theory about linguistics where the language that you speak will affect the way that you think.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
I know personally that it's true because I definitely think differently when I'm in English than in French, but like, you can see people's behaviors change when they swap languages. Anyway, so it combines that with a different theory that human beings experience time linearly because there's no other way for us to comprehend it, but it's actually all happening simultaneously.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've said this so many times.
So if you like those two theories and you want to see them combined, go watch Arrival. I'm not going to talk any more about it because it might be spoilers, but
it's a great movie, actually.
It blows your mind.
It's a great movie.
Yeah, like you can dive so deep into it. I won't give anything away except for that, not thinking of the plot, but if you pay attention to, like, I think the lighting itself, you can tell where you are in time, and there's something that people get confused about in the end, and there's like lighting that proves something. Anyway.
No spoilers.
Okay.
No spoilers.
You're going to tell me this after the thing, so I can know what you're talking about. But yeah, it's an excellent movie. If you like meditative sci-fi, I highly recommend it.
It's a great movie.
And Three Body Problem. If you want to like science fiction that, can help you think differently. Like the coolest thing about it that people loved is that Chinese folk do write their fiction differently. And there's
that's part of that language thing I was just talking about.
And I'll just say over there, like, their writing hits these multi-dimensional layered levels that we don't get in our language. But since the person who translated was also Chinese himself, he was able to write it in a way that you get to experience the multidimensional layers of that kind of writing. And it was it was so fucking good. Like, wow. I've never seen fiction do that before. So, yeah, different languages, different ways of thinking. It's a lot of fun to dive into.
Wow, we've really went everywhere on this podcast, haven't we?
Right. We even talked about Charlie Sheen briefly.
Well, it's funny when it's funny when you bring up Charlie Sheen. Like, the only movie that I ever really, really just am like, Charlie Sheen, was The Wraith. Who remembers that from the 80s? That's such a good movie.
The Crow before The Crow.
It's just funny. Like, Charlie Sheen has kind of become one of those actors or men or people that I don't really care that much for anymore. You know what I mean? But that movie back in the 80s, I mean,
I can only see the Raid as the actor. Is
such a cool cult movie. Like, it's so good. Anyway, it's a cult classic. Everyone should see it if you haven't seen it.
Charlie Sheen's fun, but he just can't compare to Michael Sheen. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Since I grew up in the 80s, me and Charlie Sheen are like this. I don't know about his private life, man. That's his business. But for me, he was like Young Guns and all these other just wacky movies like Men at Work. And
I love Men at Work.
Absolutely.
Sorry, I just really love his dad because his turn in Mass Effect like is amazing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Literally, I have not hated a single character more than I hated that one. The elusive man, that speech he gives at the end of Mass Effect 3, the first time I played it, I was so mad that like one of my friends sat next to me and touched my leg and I like jerked and he was like, oops, sorry.
fuck this guy.
Yeah, seriously. That's
great.
Much. Which is just excellent acting.
Yeah, okay. Absolutely. Too funny.
Final words about the movie?
Which movie again? No, I'm just kidding.
The motion picture.
Star Trek, the motion picture. Charlie Sheen. Horribly named.
It's definitely a long TOS episode, but if you like long TOS episodes and you like looking at 80s style animation, like science special effects, I recommend it. I think it's
one of those movies like I think everyone should see. Honestly, you got to see it at least once. Like, it has a different connection to everyone, or for everyone. There's a different connection to it for everyone. Even if you're not a Star Trek fan, as far as like the original series, it started the Star Trek movies universe. I mean, it's the beginning, and it's a great movie. I think everyone should see it.
Yeah, amazing visuals, amazing soundtrack. Mm-hmm. I think you should see it. Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely.
Yeah, amazing visuals, soundtrack, gigantic freaking ideas that expand your mind.
Actual models.
And we never hear from it ever. Actual models of
ships that are beautiful.
And wow.
One of the best Enterprises that doesn't actually get to do enough.
And some interesting philosophical questions
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Written by the guy who wrote Splinter of Mind's Eye, the first Star Wars novel that was going to be the sequel to Star Wars, but then they're like, nah, we'll do something else instead. Hmm. So, written by that guy, Alan Dean Foster.
Good to know.
Very cool.
Directed by the guy who directed The Day the Earth Stood Still and The Sound of Music.
Very versatile.
Yeah, the guy who directed Sound of Music did this movie.
That's crazy.
So,
all right. I did not know
that. Yeah, the guy's got range.
That I keep jumping everywhere, and I'm sorry, everyone. Just my brain is just crazy.
I don't know why you keep
crazy.
Apologizing.
Jump around.
But if we're also can I? All right. Speaking of directors and writers and stuff, so I work for an ad agency in San Francisco, and they've been around for a long time, and they're like a big deal. And does anyone remember the Got Milk commercial where it's Aaron Burr? Burr Got Milk? Where he eats a cookie and then a radio station calls him and he's like, hey, you know, who shot Alexander Hamilton? And he eats cookie. He's like, Aaron Burr. And they're like, we can't understand you. And he goes, hold on, let me get milk. And he pours milk and there isn't enough milk, so he can't answer the question. But he's like this historian of Aaron Burr and Alexander Hamilton. It's a whole thing, right? It's one of the most famous commercials that's like ever been made. That commercial, I just found out because I watched my bosses. Yeah. They made a masterclass on the masterclass, you know, thing. And I watched it and I didn't realize that commercial was directed by Michael Bay.
Really? Oh,
so cool. I was like, wait, what?
What?
The cookies in that man's mouth look painful.
Yeah,
directed by Michael Bay. And I was like, Michael Bay directed that commercial? And that was like in the 80s, I think. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, directing commercials. Oh, yeah. Is a good way to get into film directing because it proves that you have the capacity to run a set without them paying for more than like one or two days of you running the set, so that you can prove that you can do it before they give you like a 6-month project.
Which is funny. I told my wife that he directed and she goes, where are the explosions?
One of the people that I really like on YouTube that like does video essays did a whole thing on Michael Bay and Transformers. And basically, at the end, she was like, I'm pretty sure he knows and he deliberately makes these movies like this because he's like, I don't care, they make money.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. I have fun with... I have actually actively liked him until the latest... Like, the first... I feel like the first Transformers movie is legit.
That's amazing.
I think it's legit good. Mm-hmm. Then this man, more and more, you could tell he stopped giving a shit.
He's a cash cow.
Almost to offensive degrees.
It was a cash cow. Even though I will admit, Bumblebee was a really sweet, really cool movie.
Was it?
Yeah.
It was solid. I liked
it. And I love Hailee Steinfeld. So I'm like, yep, yeah, I'm in. I'm a fan.
She's pretty great.
Wow, we have really jumped around. I'm sorry, everyone.
I think we've covered the gamut.
Stop apologizing. And you at home, also, if you're constantly apologizing for stuff that's not making anybody sad, stop it. Fair enough.
Right.
Be nice to yourself.
The last thing I have on the movie to say is that V'ger is supposed to be 82 AUs wide, and that's bigger than our entire solar system.
Very cool. Well, I mean, so how else is it going to fit all those imaginary planets inside it, huh?
There's another part of the fiction that I ignore. But those aren't planets inside.
They're not.
They're just images. But in my headcanon, yeah, they're actual planets. It's so huge that it houses, like, planets just orbiting inside it. So that's what I believe. But in the fiction, like, he does say, oh, it's projecting images and stuff. I'm like, no, it's not.
It's projecting data. No, Spock, why do you lie to me?
No, it's not. Those are actual planets. Stop saying that. Like, yeah. And then... my little fan head edit of the movie.
Alrighty. Well, I think we're good for today, then.
The motion picture.
We do not apologize for talking about all of the things. Right, Jay?
I'm sorry, what was that?
We do not apologize for talking about all the things.
No, not apologizing. Nope. You're right.
We do not. Yeah. Okay.
Do we want to close up by giving our listeners recommendations?
Oh, sure. Yeah, why not? Cool. I recommend Arrival. I recommend Arrival. Yeah, go absolutely. Watch Arrival. Bye. Next.
I recommend Earth Defense Force if you want some straightforward monster fighting action. Three Body Problem if you want the new height of science fiction itself.
I recommend Death Coming if you want to play a cute little game where you kill people. And also, after you see The Arrival with Amy Adams, see The Arrival with Charlie Sheen. It's a
you know, it's funny. I gotta actually check that
out.
Actually,
no, it's not.
Yeah, I gotta check that one out. I'm sure I've seen it. Because
it's cheesy good fun. Yeah.
I recommend The Expanse if anyone's looking for good sci-fi. I love The Expanse. It's on Amazon, yes. And it's a very, very solid sci-fi. And it's grounded in humanity, like in Earth and Mars and, you know, the belt. But it's grounded in Earthlings. You know what I mean? Not necessarily... Yeah,
grounded. It's
very.
It takes place within the solar system, which is super
and it's,
rare.
And it's actually, and it's a great like expose on humanity. Like honestly, I mean, just it speaks to gender and to social status and to race and religion. And I mean, there's all this stuff. It's actually a really great
and to
show.
Colonialism.
And Melinda was the original captain of the Starship.
Yeah, I was going to say, and if you don't remember, Melinda was involved also. So.
She's the original captain.
I know. That was such a cool interview we did. I still bragging about it. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah. Cannot wait to talk to her again. She's awesome. I know.
Yeah, we're BFFs now.
Yep.
Family.
Oh, she's role-playing again, which I'm very happy to hear. Okay. So those are our recommendations. The Expanse is great because it deals also with like, England and its colonies, America, and then America separating and them hating each other. And then in the middle, the people who are like, we're getting crushed here. It's kind of reflective of that colonial era.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Good hero ship. But I still say that Stargate runs circles around
that's fair.
Expanse.
I mean, Stargate Atlantis is my favorite show, so I can't be impartial.
I need to revisit Stargate. I've watched them like over the years, but I need to revisit them because I don't remember the chronological order of things now. So,
Yeah. It is the other Star Trek, and okay. I can't recommend it highly enough. Like, if you want to have more Star Trek besides Orville,
there's the Orville plug. I was wondering when it was going to. I was wondering when it was going to drop
episode,
that.
Don't you? Every freaking time.
The world needs those.
And everyone, make sure that you join our Discord so you can hang out with us when we do watch parties. Because we're going to do that. I'm going to make that a thing. We're going to do that. Absolutely.
I'm looking forward to making all y'all 2 US fans.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I will do it. It's going to happen. Somehow. Okay. Yeah. As always, you can also find us at 4hosts on Twitter or thereare4hosts.com, or please come find us at popgeeks.com. I think we have an easier URL for that.
It's 4hosts.popgeeks.com.
Excellent. Thank you. Yeah, that's it for me. If you guys have anything else you want to say before Keith closes us up.
Thanks for listening, everyone, and thank you very much for hanging out with us again.
Take care of yourself.
Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yep, thanks for geeking with us. And remember, everyone, keep
Hold on. Up. Did I cut Michael off? I felt like he was going to say something. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, keep looking up. No.
Yes, take it from him.
Bye.
Well said. Keep looking up.
Well said.
All right. Bye, everyone. Bye.
Later.